The red letter Bible, the red letter life. I have a pencil. It's a red pencil. And I know we've been looking at this series of the red letter Bible, the red letter words, because some Bibles have all Jesus' words in red that alerts you that you're reading special words. And so those words are in red, and in chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew, it's all red. And Jesus said it all. Someone suggested to me years ago to get a red pencil when you're reading the Bible and mark it up wherever you see something that just is yours. All of a sudden, God speaks to you in a special way, mark it. And just mark it. It's legal to do that in books. This is a special book. And so I've done that for years. I have a red pencil, and I'm reading the Bible on a daily basis, and I mark things. And this morning, I'm going to read to you in a moment some scriptures out of Matthew 7, verses 7 through 12. And the interesting thing, it's in red, yes, in my Bible. That means Jesus said it, and it's special. But it's also marked up in red. This is a double red scripture. That means Jesus said it, and I really am impressed with it. And I am really impressed with it. I won't tell you all the things I'm impressed with, but I'm going to put it in a concise form this morning. But I'm going to read it first, and we'll talk about ask, seek, and knock. Just so you understand as I'm reading this, this is not a long sermon. I mean, Jesus's isn't. What he does in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, it seems like it's a long time because we spend a lot of time talking about it. But actually, if you read straight through this, and I've recited this at one point in my ministry, I just stood up and said the entire 5, 6, and 7 from memory. It took 14 and a half minutes. It's amazing. But in these short words, it's loaded. This is a loaded scripture. I want to read it, and we'll talk briefly about it. Jesus says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. And then in verse 9, he goes on and says, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your father, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, he says, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. And all God's people said, no. Not here. All God's people said, wow. Okay, let's try that. All God's people said, wow. This is incredible. Incredible teaching, okay? What he's talking about is building a relationship of trust. That is the essence of the message this morning that he's giving to us. It's the essence of our life with the Lord Jesus is trusting him. It doesn't really take on any meaning until you trust him or get in a situation where you have to trust him and you end up trusting him and learning that you can trust him. But also, it's something that I think is at the core of our very lives, where we really live. Now, we live here sometimes. We come in, this is good, and we learn to trust each other. But really, where you need to trust first is where you live in your own home. And so we'll talk about that this morning a little bit. Because Jesus wants us to have a relationship with him, for sure. But he's talking about relationships and ask, seek, and knock. I, as a young preacher, I was putting together a sermon years and years ago, and my mind thinks in terms of logic. I have different points, and sometimes my points have the same letter, starts each point. Sometimes they spell something. I do that. People say, do you have to do that? Are you locked into that? One of my students in Austria, he said, is this something ministers have to do? No, it's just my head. It's the way I work and function. Well, I saw ask, seek, and knock, and I was preparing a sermon on this. I thought ask starts with an A, seek starts with an S, K, the knock starts with a K, and that spells ask. I thought, that's so cool. That's great. And so I was just in love with this whole scripture from then on, because the Lord put it together in the English translation, ask, seek, and knock for me and as a young preacher. And it's building a relationship, but I kept thinking about this as I read this and was studying this. In the Greek words, in the tense of the verb ask, seek, and knock, it actually be better translated, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. And what does that remind you of? If somebody keeps asking, keeps asking, keeps asking, it reminds me of a child. They just come up and keep asking, 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 asking. And if they've asked you 100 times, they'll ask you 101 until they get what they're asking for, or until you tell them to go to the room and be quiet, or they're grounded for the next 2 years, or whatever you're going to tell them to hush up, because they're persistent. And so if you want to get close in a relationship, you get close by asking, and then by seeking and by knocking. It's a matter of communicating. But I think one of the things we have to recognize, and I understand there's male and females here this morning, but there's been a bad thing said about men, that men will not ask for directions. Now, that if assuming they're lost, but see, men are not lost, they just haven't arrived there yet. And so it's just one of those things, but somebody put together a study. Everybody does this. If you're getting a PhD these days, you have to have a study. So there's way too many PhDs floating around. And so we all have these studies. This one was a group of men they put together, and for 1 year they analyzed when they were driving more than they needed to because they weren't quite there yet. The average man drove 276 miles more that year because he wasn't there yet. That's a lot of miles. And there's a rumor going around that the reason the children of Israel were in the desert for 40 years because Moses would not ask for directions. And that is not true. That is not true. There's biblical evidence about other reasons they were there. But the fact is, asking is not easy. I did some sales for a while, and they say you have to ask for the buy. You have to ask. And I'm a very self-sufficient person. I think I'm independent, and often I'll just go ahead and do it. I'll just do it myself, and that cuts into discipleship. It cuts into getting others involved. I know that, but still, I just want it done my way. So I don't ask always. And Jesus is saying, then you cut into your possibility of relationships. And so if you're going to build a relationship, you've got to ask. You've got to seek, and you've got to knock, and you've got to keep doing it, and keep doing it, keep doing it. And it's interesting to me, if we're jumping ahead a moment here, but in the same, if you have your Bibles open, let's go down to verse 23. And Jesus makes the statement, he said, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you, away from me, you evildoers. And these people had come and said, it's the end of the time and end of life, and we've done all these things for you, Lord. We've done this and this and this and this and this. And evidently, they missed a part. They didn't have a relationship with him. And you can go through a lot of motions, but without meaning to those motions, it's nothing. And I think we have a lot of times that we have to look at ourselves and say, am I just going through the motions, or is there really a relationship with the Lord Jesus? And that's foundational. That's first. In our homes, is there really a relationship where we just go through motions? And we believe in this church, we want you to have a relationship with Jesus, first of all, but in your homes with each person who lives there. And a growing relationship with Jesus who lives there as well. So that's a foundational thing. And it's the intentional thing that Jason was talking about earlier in communion time. It's a plan. It's a purpose. It's a definite thing. Yes, I want to have a relationship. But this asking, seeking, knocking, it moves on to verse 9 through 11, and it enters a word, it's a relationship of, I'd call, trust. And Jesus says it beautifully. He's talking about earthly fathers and lifts us up in a way when he says this, and how good we are even though we're evil. If a son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? No, as a good father. If a son asks for fish, compliments of pizza sala, will you give him a fish? I mean, will you give him a snake? No. He's talking about earthly fathers being evil and still doing the right thing. Then he says, your heavenly Father, you can trust even more because he gives good gifts. In fact, one way of translating this whole passage is what when you pray for something that you want, God will give you what you really, really, really want. Now, if you're a normal person, and I think, how many of you are normal this morning? Okay, we've got four, that's good. The rest of you, I don't know what you are, but the normal people here, when you ask God for something and he doesn't give it to you, how are you doing? And sometimes if he says no, how do you handle the no's? I always said to our kids when they're growing up, you're learning about your maturity level when you can handle a no in life, because you'll get them. Or maybe you asked him for something very, very important, and he said no, and you took it as never. How are you doing with that? A lot of people just back off from God, and when they talk about trusting God, there's no way they can trust because they haven't dealt with that issue in their life. And I've told you many times, if you've been in the church, you know this story, and I won't go into depth. If you're new here, just let you know that when I was 10 years old, my life changed drastically on a Christmas Eve. My mother just passed out. 37 years of age, she passed out. Well, there was no heartbeat. We lived out in the country. We had medics coming, friends coming, but she never regained consciousness. But I was outside praying. My dad he wanted me to go out and wait for somebody, but also to get me out of the area at that point. He said, go out and pray. So I did. Prayed for God to help my mom live. My mom did not live. We had the funeral, buried, life went on. And I had to deal with that in my life. Okay, I see the scripture, ask and it'll be given to you. I asked and he did not give it to me. So how can I trust him? Now you may be in that point, I understand it. I battled that in my life. Okay, I never drifted away from God, but I was sure mad at him for a while. I mean, I couldn't tell anybody because Christians don't get mad at God. Then I read Psalms. David sure did. He got upset, so I thought, well, let's be honest. If you're going to be close to somebody, let's get honest. Do I trust God? No. How can I trust when, well, that's back then. I'm working through this. And so, did God answer my prayer to help my mom live? I believe in heaven, by the way. And I believe that today she is alive and well. I believe that one of these days I'll see her again. That's what our goal is in life, heaven. But see, we get wrapped up in earth. Now, the Bible talks a lot about this, and there's a story that I love. It's in John 11. It's an interesting story because Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus, a little family. Lazarus, the brother, got sick and was dying. And Jesus said while he was in Jerusalem, and Bethany is not far away, he said, it's not a sickness unto death. But he died. Lazarus died while Jesus was lingering in Jerusalem and didn't go to Bethany. He arrived in Bethany, and then Mary and Martha, the sisters, basically, and I don't know if it was maliciously, but basically said to him, Lord, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. And, of course, the undertones of, why didn't you get here sooner? But it also says in that passage, Jesus wept. Now, it doesn't say why he wept, and we've congested many ideas, and maybe it's because he saw the emotions, and he got caught in the emotions. It could have been the fact that they just didn't get it yet. And maybe he was overcome with the fact that he's been with them and teaching and teaching, and they did not understand who he was. He is God in the flesh. He can do anything. And he also represents something that is amazing. And so what he does is, in the story, he goes to the tomb. Now, he's 4 days late. All right. Lazarus is dead. He's all wrapped up. He's in a tomb. And he prays and he says, Lazarus, come out. Well, this, he can't come out. It's dead. He's going to stink, basically. It's the truth. And so they deal with this, and Lazarus comes out. And they say, hey, Jesus says, unwrap him. Take off the burial clothes. Because I love this Southern gospel song. He's 4 days late, but he's still on time. See, with time, there is no time with God, by the way. I understand that. He has no beginning and no end. He is. That's why he says, Jesus said, I am, I am, I am, so many times. I am. Not I was or I will be. No, I am. That's God. There is no time with God. And I was 10 years old. I'm almost 70 now. 60 years later, have I figured this out? Yes, there's an N in your notes. And the N in your notes doesn't stand for no. It doesn't stand for never. It stands for now. We have a now God who trust him. He knows what he's doing, and he believes in the now. In fact, the Bible tells us that life, don't get wrapped up in it, by the way, because you're not permanently here. You know that. Okay. But sometimes we act like it, like there's no heaven. But life is like a vapor. That's one life. All that fuss and fuming and worrying, there's another life. It goes like that. And the Lord says, don't get so wrapped up in it, because trust me. Trust me. Now, 60 years have gone by. And do I trust God? More than ever. More than ever. In fact, I don't have time to do it, but there's a fun game just to show you what it is. It's called the trust game. How many have played the trust game? You play it in camp. You play it in kids. And what you do is you have a person stand here and a person stand behind that person. And then this person has to show his trust or her trust and falls back. And the person catches. That's the idea. And it's fun to do this with children. It's fun to do it with adults. Amazing thing about children, I've learned in doing it with children, is often you think children are trustworthy. They keep looking back, and then they'll do this. And they fall back, they do this. And that means you don't trust. Now, for instance, I won't have Ken do this, but Pastor Ken's here, and he could come up, and he'd stand right here, I'd stand here, and then, can I catch him as he falls? Or will he trust me? Now, the fact is, if I step back further, he's right here, and I'm back here. Is he going to fall back? I wouldn't suggest it. I'd try to catch him, but I may ruin my back. And now, let's say that I'm standing here, and he's back here, and he can... Do I trust him? Well, he's bigger than I am. He's stronger than I am. So I think, okay, I'm logically thinking through this. He can catch me. We have actually had a person attending some of our men's gatherings and some of the church services. He's 6'4", weighs 300 pounds. He's an offensive lineman for the Los Angeles Rams. Strong man. Now, if he's standing here and I'm falling back, do I trust him? Absolutely. I'm fine. And Ken, would you trust him? Yeah, you've met him, you know, and it's just trust. Now, the key to trust game is get close and think really big. If you're close to God and you know how big and powerful he is, can you trust him? Even when you can't figure it out, even when you don't like where it's going, even when you hear the word that your mother has died, can I trust him? I couldn't at the first, I was trying to figure it out. But now I know fully, 60 years later, yes, I can trust him. The door is open. We'll be together forever. And that's been what my wife and I, when we first married, I told you many times that we just established a goal. We wanted to get our family to heaven. Now, our family were Glenda and Jim. That was it grew a little bit. And kept having children, had twins, and that explodes it. And so you have a family, and then they all started dating and got married and lived happily ever after, and they had children, and some had children and children and children and children and children. And so we have now, we're going on 29 this year, and we have another one coming. And And that's not Glenda. She's not pregnant or anything, just so you don't know that. God is good. All the time, yes. But I just say, our goal was demonstrated in that little walk that we took in 2013. We got to the George Washington Bridge. God provided that all of our children could be there, 25 of us at the time, the full family. And we walked across that bridge symbolically saying, this family is going to heaven. This family is going to heaven. And I would pray that because of the home that we have for Jesus, it's not a perfect home. If any of you have been there, you know it's not. But it's a home that loves Jesus. It's a home that's wrapped up in Jesus. And the families are, they're Christian families. And so the whole thing about all of this, and I think it's a matter of building a relationship of trust. Do that today, okay? Just how do you do it? You stay close to the Lord Jesus. Talk to him all the time. Talk to him all the time. Ask him for things. When you disagree, tell him. He'll tell you. I mean, read the word. He'll give you responses. And take your red pencil, mark it up, and you'll have a Bible, and you'll have a relationship with Jesus that you may not even understand sometimes, but the fact is it's going on. Now, the scripture is not done. That's really the relationship of trust, but there's something unique here because it just happens to be here. I just love it when it just happens to be here. We've been wanting to announce something for a long time, but we've been working on something because we believe, and I'm not saying that Pastor Ken and I and others in leadership know everything, but we really believe from the fact that we work with families, we work with homes, we're in your homes, we are in your lives, and you invite us in. But we really believe we know what you really, really want. Now, on Super Bowl Sunday, you have to be careful. Because, well, on Super Bowl Sunday, the sponsors tell you what you really want. And they do it so well, you may want a new car. You may want a new Dorito, or what you know. You may want something new to drink and new shoes, and you know that. Oh yeah, you're captured by the sales of that, and so you really want a new home, a new this, a new that. Now, what you really, really want, you may not know till you get a phone call at 3 a.m. and you find out your grandson's in the hospital, in emergency, possibly going into surgery. You rush over. He's got an appendix that needs to come out. 17-year-old grandson, perfect health. And we wait. The doctor comes out and said, yes, we got his appendix out, but it did leak. And was assuring us that they got most of it. We've been through this before once in our family. And we were praying. Jordan Buckley is still in the hospital, and as we've learned, he had a very large, serious rupture of the appendix. So he has poison all through his system. And he is improving, but it's a long road. And so what do you really, really want at that time? Do we care about new this, new that? Not a bit. Who gives a rip? Glenda and I were invited to somebody's home years ago in Eugene, Oregon. Good friends, they were Christians. They were involved in a company that sells products, and they were inviting us to go into it to make some extra money. And they were trying to convince us, and they're good friends. We had dinner, and they were talking to us. And they said, but now if you do this, you know, then you have enough to get a new car. You do need a new car, don't you? Looked at each other, no, it runs. And then they said, well, you want a bigger house, don't you? No, it's fine, it works. Well, you want maybe better clothes? No, we're okay. And they said, well, what goals do you have in life? What do you really, really want? Glenda and I looked at each other and we just said, we want our family to go to heaven. Their company couldn't provide that. Only Jesus can provide that. And that's why Jesus is in our home, because we're investing in him, that relationship of trust. And so Jesus closes this passage with a simple verse. It says, so in everything do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Now, that doesn't really fit with the rest of this, but it does. Okay, understand, the Lord knows what he's doing. He said this, it fits. It's amazing how it fits, and it fits where we were headed in announcing something to you about the church and about a ministry, about the home. And we've talked about this, we've talked about it, but now there's something tangible, intentional. And you can be an intentional person, tangibly taking tools home to your place where you live 6 days a week. Come here, yes. Nothing's going to change as far as what you know about the church, except it's going home. And we're praying that that changes dramatically because, well, at least one church found, they were daring enough to take a survey of their church. How many of you read the Bible and pray at home? 1,000 people said yes. Wow, that's terrific. Unless you have 10,000 in the church. And now it's 10%. That could never happen here. Well, I was having breakfast years ago with two of our elders. Don't ask names, they're two of our elders. Great men of God, just faithful as can be. And I was sitting there, I made the comment, you know, some of our people aren't reading the Bible every day, I don't think. And they both went, okay, 10% wasn't enough. This church, I commend this church. It's in Lake Point Church in Texas. They decided that wasn't enough. And they were going to take responsibility themselves, and they were going to invest money. They invested hundreds of thousands of dollars in a study that would produce a solution in their church. They called it Home Point. And that began a ministry that's incredible. They take Jesus home intentionally, and they're armed with tools to take Jesus home. It's working. It's functioning. 300 other churches in the nation have joined forces with that to take Jesus home every single time they're together. Don't leave here without him. Take him home. And they take him home. And now we have connected also. We're 301 now that have joined with that church. And we have a new ministry called Home Point. Take Jesus home. Building stronger families. Families of all ages. Glenda and I now live alone. Sometimes. But we have still family. Grandparents have families. And so it doesn't matter what age your family, all of us. And so that ministry, well, let me introduce the ministry. Home Point is, I mean, building strong families. It's about going home. It's not about anything happens here. There'd be nothing added to the church calendar in the evening except in your home. You add it. And why are we doing this? Because we actually believe. We believe we want you to take Jesus home. Amen. Pastor Ken's going to say something in just a moment. So I want to just wrap this up and say that how are we going to do this? With intentional tools. We have a little start out here. There's a church in Chino that has a massive ministry right now. And we went and we were able to talk to them and said, how did you start? They've got an amazing ministry. Well, it's a large church, but it's grown. And the gentleman who's leading it said, we put a table out front. I thought, we could do that. So we have a table out front today. That's starting the ministry. And a little stand that says, on at Home Point, building stronger families. And when's it going to start? That's the now, today. It starts. And who's going to do it? We are, right? What's the W stand for?
We.
And wow. This stands for we and wow. You just do it together. All right. Now, with that said, I want to tell you who's involved. Jason Buckley will be the elder involved. He's called an executive sponsor. I'm involved as a staff, one of the ones who will be championing the cause of this. And the administrative support, we have some openings still, but we can tell you what that is. And then Home Point host, Brian Emily Fick, and John and Kim Rousseau. John and Kim, have you arrived? Where are you? They're back here. Stand up so people can see who you are. There they are. And you've seen Jason already. You've seen me and the fixer out of town this weekend. But go to the thing after the service and talk to us. We'll tell you more about Home Point. But right now, I think it's strategic that we have Pastor Ken come up, because he's also part of this plan. He's the lead pastor. And the lead pastor has to really be involved in this, really support this. I don't know if we have a better lead pastor to support this than Ken Lamont, because he just came back from celebrating his 30th anniversary. And praise God. And I had the privilege of being there at the wedding and seeing them get married. And were you too young? Oh, yeah, but that's okay. And they have four lovely daughters. They have a grandchild coming soon. And have you heard him talk about family lately? When he's growing up and all, he lives with his family. The first home that we visited and stayed in when we moved to Newbury Park, guess where it was? On the hill, Lamont Home. Go figure. You want to be called to Newbury Park, you stay in that home on the hill, and God calls you a lot of places. And so Pastor Ken's going to come up right now, close the service, but just say what he thinks about the home and home point and whatever he wants to say. Come on up. Praise God for you. Glad you're back.
Thanks. Well, quickly, Pastor Jim asked me to say something, and all I know is this, is if you've been around Jim for any length of time, you catch his passion for the home. And we grabbed that early on in our marriage, because Jim, I don't know what they were thinking letting us get married that early. I was 21, Brenda was 19. We just celebrated 30 years. We're celebrating this month. It's our wedding month. So, and we're enjoying this, and we got to spend some time together. So thank you guys for letting us get away. But the reality is this, is early on we started to realize that ministry, like many of your jobs and things, are demanding on our lives. What were we going to do to make sure that our faith grew in our home? And so we started to put in place little things, and we talked to Jim, and they had Monday night. And so we said, well, we could do that. We'll do Monday night. So we picked a night and said, we're going to do this every single week together, where we pray every Monday night, after dinner. And we started this prayer journal. And so what's amazing is now we just went this last week, picked up our youngest daughter from her first year of college. And what's amazing is we have this journal that has a history of our whole family, about what has happened over all these years in our lives, and on every single page of that journal is a place where God showed up and answered prayers. And we look back at that every single time, we go, look what God did. It's like a history book for us. And so Pastor Jim, when he was doing the walk, he said, hey, put together a prayer journal. So we did. It's a really simple little thing, and they're available out there. You can grab them. And I would say to any of you who don't do something like that, pick a night, just pick one night, and every week as a family, just say, hey, on this night, we're going to get together, and if nothing more, we're just going to pray together. And I got to tell you, it revolutionized what happened in our home. It's so much so that when our kids go off to college, we would call them on Monday nights and say, what do you want us to pray for? We're praying. Sometimes they would call us or text us on a Monday night and say, this is what I need prayer. I'm cramming for a test, I need prayer. Okay, great. We put it in the book. We would pray for them. When their friends would come over on Monday night, we had a girl that lived with us for a month. By the end of that month, she was so excited that on Monday night, she ran around and told everybody else, come on, come to the table. We're doing that prayer thing. And I got to tell you, we're called, in the Sermon on the Mount that we've been going through, we're called to be kingdom people, kingdom people. And we want your house to be a kingdom house. And to do that, it means that we become the children of God. And in our homes, we demonstrate that through how we live. And it's really easy to let life happen. It's really easy to just let life happen, isn't it? To just let work consume you. to just allow the schedules. I mean, and if you've got kids in school now, you know how the schedules can consume you. It's really easy to let life consume you and let life dictate to you what's going to happen in your home and what's going to happen on your calendar and what's going to happen in your life. And what I think, when Pastor Jim came to me with this, I thought, yes, because all we want to do is give you tools, to put tools in your hand where you can say, no, we're not going to let life just dictate this to us. We're going to intentionally say our home is going to be centered on the Word of God. Our home is going to be centered on Jesus. And so we're going to capture that. And so we just did a simple, and some of you are thinking, oh, man, they're going to ask us to do all this stuff. We're not. We're just going to ask you to discover a way that your family can have Jesus every single week, that you have something that you do together as a family to make Jesus the foundation of your home. There's some great resources out there. It's going to be this simple. There's a bunch of these cards. I mean, it's really kind of fun. I was looking at one of them. You can go and just grab a card off of their table, and it gives you an idea, because sometimes it's just a matter of going like, well, what should we do as a family? Well, you could grab a prayer journal. It'll walk you through. You can grab one of these resources, one of these cards that they have back there, and it's something as simple as watch Captain America. Anybody want to do that? Like, I'm game. And then it gives you a couple questions to talk about with your family. And I'm thinking, how easy is that? This is stuff we kind of do anyways. And what we're doing is we're saying, we're going to take this stuff captive and allow it to let Jesus be and reside in our homes. And I got to tell you this is what I know from my life is we've watched four kids now. And so for you graduates, congratulations. But I this is what I do know. Is your parents have some concerns, okay, as they watch you walk off into the rest of your life, okay? I we've done it four times now, watching our children, head off to school and do these kinds of things, and we just picked our youngest one up from school, and every time I know this one thing, it's like, dear Lord, protect them. See, and every parent in the room is like, oh, yeah. Protect my kid, okay? What we decided is we didn't want to just ask God to protect our kids. We wanted by the time our kids graduated high school, we said, we don't want to just throw them out there into the world and pray God protect them. We said, we want to create world changers. We want our kids to go and make a difference where they go. Doesn't matter where they go. And what's exciting to me is that our youngest one came back. You know what she's most excited about? That her and her one Christian roommate have a non-Christian roommate, and that non-Christian roommate now is starting to ask questions. They're going to change their life. Why? Because the things that we started doing at home, she's still doing at school. And for you guys who are, you young people who are graduating, here's what I know. You have a great family here, and wherever you go to school, you need a great family there. And you need to find a church family where you plug in. School will be great. It'll be fun. You'll do all kinds of things. You got to find a family where you plug in. Where you say, you know what? This is the place where I'm going to go and get fed the word of the Lord every week. So you need to go find a church family wherever you're going to school. Amen, parents? You know what? And your parents are concerned. And they're concerned with the one thing that Pastor Jim shared this morning. That your faith would grow, that your faith would be strong, that you're going to be able to combat everything the world throws at you because you have a strong faith. And parents, here's the deal. If you wait until they're, freshmen, sophomores, juniors, or seniors in high school to get this thing going, it's going to be hard. Start now, wherever you're at, start now. And some of you might be saying, but our kids are already gone. It's not just about your kids, it's about you guys. Brenda and I, this is one of the first times we are actually on a vacation, like just the two of us. It is good. Pastor Jim's been telling me, oh, this is great stuff. And we're like, wow, this is amazing. We can just tell the kids, like, you're old enough to feed yourselves, we're out of here. So, and it's amazing. But you know what? We're discovering that we have great conversations about faith. We have great conversations about what we hope for. And now we have a grandkid that we're already praying for. constantly that not that that kid's going to, you know, do this or do that, that this grandkid is going to know Jesus. And that's where we start. And we're excited. I mean, the first thing that we go out and buy for a grandkid, we're like, we're on the quest for the perfect baby Bible. Okay? Because that's the first thing we want for this kid, you know? And so I want to encourage you and then pray for us this morning. Is stop by the table out there. Look at the stuff. It'll be out every week. And you can just grab resources. This is we're not going to pound you in the head with this. We're just going to say, you know what? It's available. Be intentional. Take Jesus home. Do something every week in your home that makes sure that Jesus is at the center. And you know what? And in doing that, you will help your family become a light to the community. You will be salt and light, like Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. You will be the city on the hill. You will be the people of God, the citizens of the kingdom. And that's what we want more than anything else. And that's why we're doing this. Okay, it's not just to add something to the schedule or anything else. It's to help us have resources to intentionally have Jesus living, active, at the core of our home. So I'm going to have Pastor Jim come back up here. We're going to close the service like this because I get to tell people every week, not only do we want to resource your family, but we want our church to be a family. And that's the greatest thing I hear from people who come and visit us. They said, this feels like home. Amen. And I say, you know what? That's because it is. It's a family. And so I'm going to have all of you guys just stand with us. And what I'd like for you to do, just kind of by way of representing that idea that we are a family, is just reach out and grab a hand of the person next to you. Yeah, don't fall back now. There's chairs behind you. Okay? And we just want to pray as we launch this. And I'd encourage you guys to go. You know, there's some things you can sign up for. There's some things you can grab. And just get it started. Wherever you're at, just get it started. And you young people who are graduating, going off to school, man, find a home. Find a church home somewhere where you can plug in and where you're going to grow. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, as we close our service today, Father, we thank you so much for the desire that you have to be in our lives and in our homes. And Father, thank you that you're a God who wants to be with us. Lord, we thank you, Father. I thank you so much for Pastor Jim and his incredible example, for he and Glenda and all that they've done to demonstrate to us what it means to take Jesus into our lives, but into our homes, and that our homes would become places that are lighthouses to our community. And God, I thank you for some of these resources, Lord, because it's not easy. And Father, I thank you that we can just make these things available. And Father, I pray that every single family in this church family would have Jesus at the center. That, Lord God, you would help us to be people who, above everything else that we seek for in life, above everything else that we're trying to ask for, that, God, we ask that Jesus would be at the center of our homes. That, God, our homes would be places of joy, of peace, of love, of patience and kindness, and all the good things that come when your Holy Spirit resides in us. And Father, we thank you and pray that, Lord God, that you would send us from this place to our homes, to our workplaces, to our schools, to our neighborhoods, to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. God, we love you and we praise you and we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, make sure you get by there today and have a wonderful week. We'll see you next week.